We got one more hour to go here on the EA show today. We'll get you all the important stuff about where we're at and what's going to be going on with them as well. Brian Rice, it is 11 o'clock, 11:02 on a Wednesday, and we have a significantly cooler guest than you.
It is. You know, we play over under this time. We're going to do that coming up in a moment. But we're joined now by Rhiannon Potke. You have achieved one of your dreams in life, which you've been talking about this for years back when you were a sports writer with the New Sentinel, about launching a nonprofit that would help connect kids with the equipment that they badly need to participate in sports. It's called Goods for Greatness, and this has really taken off, and it's really fun to see.
Yeah, it has definitely been a dream of mine, and it truly is my passion. Once I started it, I knew this was my calling. Like, I still have to work, obviously, because I need to pay those bills, but helping these children be able to play sports is, there's an indescribable feeling, and there's so much need out there. I didn't even realize, I thought I knew, but now I really know. And to be able to just alleviate some of that financial stress and let them be able to benefit from sports is a true blessing.
Well, so tell me, like, when the need for it, like, what is it that you do? Goods for Greatness, what is that?
Well, what I basically do is I help kids, low-income kids, buy the sports equipment they need to be able to play from the basics. I mean, we're talking socks, shoes, not even stuff that we take for granted, like bats, new gloves. Like, we're talking, like, the bare minimum. And now I'm also paying some playing fees because I've discovered, like, hey, there's a lot more need out there. And if I can raise more money, then I'm going to help more. So some of these kids, like, you know, I just bought yesterday night. I bought a kid here at one of the local high schools, a football girdle, foot cleats, socks, and just, like, the basic stuff. And he's raised by a grandmother, and she's on Social Security.
And can't afford it.
Yeah, and so it's as simple as that. I just find kids that are low income, and there's a lot of them out there, a lot of families struggling, and I just say, hey, give me a wish list, and we'll try to make it come true. And it's not a wish list like I want the newest this. It's like I just want this so I can play, because a lot of the families I'm working with, it's either we pay to put dinner on the table or the kids don't play sports, like one or the other. So if I can alleviate that other part and those kids can benefit from, like, if it's one season and then we help them the next season – by the time they graduate from high school, I mean, that's it's such a, you know, I was blessed to get so many, you know, benefits from sports, and it just, I don't think it's fair if kids' income level restricts that. So that's our goal, Goods for Greatness, is just any equipment or playing fees these kids have.
Hey, I'm going to throw this out there. I played with a lot of them. I wasn't one. I was in middle, I had a teacher and a dental hygienist for parents. We were fine. You know, we didn't have a lot of money, but we were fine. But I played with a lot of guys at every level, from middle school to the National Football League, and it wasn't until the National Football League that they had their own money. They don't have anything. If you had to have money to be a high school or college athlete, three-fourths of the good athletes wouldn't be there. Some of the stuff that makes them the best is the fact that they overcome daily hurdles, and they don't come from money, and they have nothing, and they don't want it to be like that. But getting them started to where they could be a really good athlete and have the stuff they need and maybe go – make their life better. I mean, learn what you learn from sports alone is huge, but God forbid, you know, hey, what if you're pretty good at it?
Yeah.
You know, life can get better for you.
So you started collecting, I know when this started, collecting some surplus and some old stock from a lot of college teams, high school teams, club teams, and now it's evolved into still doing that, but also raising money to help meet people's individual needs that way.
Exactly. That's become a big part of it. I knew early on, I know fundraising is hard. I know it's hard. Full-time job. I don't have that as a full-time job. I have six other jobs to help me. So I knew, like, at least I could get the ball rolling. And I know colleges have a lot of leftover stuff there, and they can't give it directly to schools because it's an NCAA violation, whatever we can think of that. That's another discussion. So I knew, like, I could still be making an impact, and then I could start to try to raise the money. And so it wasn't like I could jump in feet first and start making a difference and then get the word out, and then hopefully we can raise more and more money, because some of these kids do need new stuff. I mean, there's safety issues involved. You need new equipment. And some kids deserve new stuff. Like, remember getting their first, like, new glove or new bat?
Oh, yeah.
And how exciting that was? Some of these kids, all they've ever gotten is hand-me-downs. And, like, I don't really think that's fair either. So if we can do both, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do. I try to be, like, a matchmaker. Like, colleges donate me their equipment. I redistribute it to Title I schools in the area, across the nation. And then, you know, and then I try to raise as much money as I can to buy these kids new things because, you know, like I said, some kids need new stuff. Some kids have sizes we can't get with used stuff. So I'm trying to do both.
I always used to think it was unfair because, like I said, I never wanted for these things. But, like, if you were good, then your $150 fee that you have to play to be a football player or a baseball, whatever it is, you know, you have those, like, fees, those sport fees every year that you have to pay. Well, magically, the 10 best players never had to ever pay a fee, but that meant that guy did, and just because they came from the same school in the same neighborhood and he just wasn't as good, he had to come up with $150. He couldn't touch the rim. You know what I mean? Like, it always was, like, weird to me, but I'm glad there's someone doing something about that.
And that's kind of a hidden thing, Eric. I think a lot of people don't realize, like, you know, a lot of these schools, like, you have to pay. Like, it's not all – just because it's a public school, you're not paying for free. There's equipment packages.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so I pay a lot of those fees. Like, hey, we have to buy our uniform and our and all the school – like, this, you have to have the shoes the same. You got to have this – and, like, okay, but that family can't afford those shoes. But, like, we don't say that. So I'm just like, hey, here, tell me. I'll pay your equipment fees, and we'll get it done.
See if
so,
we can do it.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll bet they love you.
I don't know. I mean, I
bet they do.
I love
that's
them.
An escape.
I mean,
that's an escape for anybody, let alone a kid going through a lot of crap. Someone's nice to him, doesn't want anything back in return. That's I mean that
it's you know
that's
the funny
cool.
thing
that's
is
cool.
It's sometimes hard to get them to return my text because they're like really like this gotta be a scam, like there's no way you're just giving me stuff. So I have to go out and physically be like here I am, like here's the stuff, tell
here
me
you go.
Here's your yeah it's no honestly though it's so rewarding to me, like I feel more when someone texts me they need something, I get excited. I'm like you need something,
let's
we're gonna help
it.
You so it's more rewarding for me I think, but I hope they do, you know. And appreciate the donor. It's not me. It's the donors donating to me. It's the people giving back to their own communities that I'm really blessed with, because without them, I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
Well, you're going to have the fundraiser here at Beard and Beer Market. We're going to talk about that after we play Over Under in a moment. But how, if people want to donate right now, how do they do that? Because we've already had a couple people call in during the segment that I think this is awesome and want to help out. How do people go about donating right now?
Yeah, well, you can get on the website, which is goodsforgreatness.org, and there's it's the number 4. Also on every social media, it's at goodsforgreatness. There's a way to donate. There's buttons, there's PayPal. I have an address. You can mail a check if you're old school. You can literally call my cell phone. It's on the site. I don't mind. And I will find a way to, if you want to donate, I'll make it happen. Cause,
you're a better person than I.
I have
the website on the email.
Well,
I mean, the phone number on the website. You are
hey,
a much better person than I am.
So anyway, and honestly, reach out to me. You can DM me personally on my own Twitter. Like, literally, I'm out there. You can find it and just tell me and I'll make it happen. Because I need all the donations we can get. Because as many kids as we can help, that's better. So anyone that wants to. goodsforgreatness.org. There's all on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I've tried to cover all the bases. Not quite, you know, TikToking yet, but if I have to, I'll do that.
Oh, TikTok. Oh, my 8-year-old.
If
nauseating.
Helps, man, if it helps get money for these kids, I'll do something.
Fair. Yeah. I'm with you.
That's about the only way I do it, though, to be honest.
Well, they're hosting the 0K for you here at Beer and Beer Market. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment, but right now, it's time to play a little over under. Eric, that's thanks to Avalon Golf and Country Club.
Yep, avalongolf.com. Check it out. Great course, phenomenal food, never a bad time.
Logan Ward has the
If you need
numbers.
A fourth, holler at your boy.
Logan Ward has the numbers. He's good for about 12 holes of it.
Yeah, maybe 9.
Logan, what do you have for us this morning?
All right, so this morning it's an all-average edition of over-under. These are season averages for Tennessee thus far. Tennessee
Nothing says average like the Eric Gaines show, Logan.
Exactly.
My gosh.
Exactly. I mean, I wasn't going to say it, but I agree.
Me.
All right, number one, Tennessee points this Saturday against Ole Miss, over-under 41.5.
You're the guest. Do you want to go first or last?
I will go first. That Ole Miss defense, man, I'm going over. I'm going over just because I can't. They've improved, but it's not. There was a lot to improve on.
Tennessee scores 45, Eric. I take the over.
Logan?
I'm going to go under. I think they get around the 38. No, listen, I think that they get around the 38 to 40 mark, but I think the total still goes over no matter what.
Logan's a Florida fan.
It's endearing how he makes his picks seem like they're not direct jabs in my ribs every time he does it. I'm going to take the over, and the main reason is because Ole Miss is, if you ask them, 41.5, they're going to say over. Yep. It's going to be a good game the entire game. There's no slowing down, foot off the pedal stuff. It'll be as many as both of them can score, so I'm going to take the over.
All right, number two.
Our next one, Hendon Hooker passing yards this Saturday. Over under his season average of 177.2, so really exact.
I'll go over. I think, I mean, there's going to be a lot of rushing yards from Tennessee, but, like, there's going to be a lot of yards in this game. So if he's not getting that, then they're not even going to be in contention.
I was surprised when I looked at his average that it was that low for passing yards. I realize Tennessee's run a lot. I think Hendon Hooker is going to have to complete some passes for Tennessee to win on Saturday. So if I'm going to pick Tennessee to win, which, spoiler alert, I am, he's got to go over that number.
the plumbers out over here by the fire right now. Bad take, Andy. I'm putting it out there. I mean, that's a. Oh, sorry. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about you. Logan, what is your pick here, son?
I'm going way over. I think he gets over in the first half. Ole Miss is giving up 238 yards through the air this season, so this is going to be way over.
Yeah, I will. Sorry, I'm like
you
really
were almost
happy.
Attacked
I'm
by like, a fire poker.
I'm really happy that I just did a bad take like that. I'm going to say over. He came in against Pitt, and the first two drives, he's learning, he's figuring it out, and he played pretty decent. The other game you're playing against Florida at Florida. We only had 14 points, and two of them were on explosive pass plays, a screen and a ball down the field. There just wasn't a lot to be had. I think that Ole Miss will look more like Missouri and South Carolina defensively, so I do expect him to have a really good day. But to Rhiannon's point, he's going to have to throw for over a couple hundred yards if we're going to win, because you're talking touchdown, three or four touchdowns in that game should be explosive plays. That alone should get you close to your 200. Definitely over.
All right, guys, next one's Tennessee rushing yards against Ole Miss, over under 253.7.
Yikes, that's high. Wow.
It is high.
I'm going to go under.
For a lot of yards.
They have been. I think they could get up to 200. I don't know if I'll go higher than 253. I'll go a little under there. Not much, though. They're going to have to, like Eric said. I mean, there's going to be so many plays in this game. You're going to have to get yards somewhere, right? Unless you're getting, sack totals taken away, but that's more passing. So,
without knowing for sure that Jabari Small is going to play, I'm going to take the under. If Jabari Small and Tyon Evans are both healthy, good to go, ready to go, Tennessee could be like some of the earlier games, run for as many as you choose to. Logan?
I'm going to go under, but barely, just because I think that they're just going to annihilate Ole Miss through the air, and that they won't have to run the ball, and also, injuries with, Tyon Evans and Jabari Small. I'll go over, but barely. I mean, excuse me, under, but barely.
Okay, I'm going to answer this in a second, but this is like being at the zoo. Watching Bad Take Andy. Hey, Bad Take broke a garden gnome over there shooting an air ball. I just wanted you guys to know that. He didn't even get close to the rim. Oh!
Oh, he's dunking.
All right, let's see. Ask me one more time. Sorry, I was
rushing yards over 250, under
253.5. I'm going to take the under, but I don't think it's a ton. I mean, they're going to have – this should be a game where you're throwing for three bills, running for two plus, 500 yards or more offense, probably for both teams. Turnovers are going to be the deal, so I'm going to take the just under.
All right, last one, turnovers forced by Tennessee against Ole Miss, over under the SEC average of 1.5.
Oh, wow, that's not much, man. I'll go over, but, I mean, and Corral's obviously, he's been very good with this ball security this season compared to last season, mm-hmm. So I think more of it maybe just forcing a few fumbles, maybe, I don't know if they'll intercept him, but I'll still go over. That's low, especially Tennessee's been forcing some, so it's been a priority.
Give me two turnovers. Over. Logan.
I'll take the under. I mean, Matt Corral, he got a lot better from last season as far as, not turn the ball over. I mean, he threw six interceptions in one game, and then the other games he threw two, so I'm going to take the under.
He did do it.
I don't know who I'm more disappointed in. Bad Take Andy with the plumber's crack and breaking a garden gnome, shooting air balls on the gym, or Logan taking the anti-Vol pick every single freaking time.
You can't be disappointed in someone when they behave as expected.
That sounds like that's directed
at me. I've been right more times than not, correct?
Or who are we talking about now? And don't subtle jab me. Just throw the hook, throw the uppercut already, and let's get it over with.
I was talking about Logan, but that's what we call in the business a cell phone. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to take the over on this. I'm really hoping that Tennessee would be under and that we can generate a couple turnovers, because I think that's going to be – you're going to be looking for differences in drives. So, we both had X amount of touchdown drives, X amount of field goal drives. What did we do in these other three or four? And if that's a turnover on downs, or they're in the red zone kicking field goals, not touchdowns, like that, that's going to be the little things like that are going to be what determine who wins. But I'll take the over. I'm not a Logan.
That's how we play over under, thanks to our friends at Avalon.
AvalonGolf.com. Can't go wrong, man. Always taking care of you.
So a week from tonight, Rhiannon, right here, Beard and Beer Market, is the 0K to benefit Goods for Greatness. This is a fun run where you don't have to fun run because there's a 0K.
It's just fun.
You come pay your money. It's National Sloth Day, correct?
Oh, wow.
Which is why it's a 0K.
That's a 0K, yeah.
And the logo is a sloth, and the logo is amazing.
It's amazing. I was like over the moon when I saw the logo. I was just like, this is just the best thing I've ever seen.
So people come here, they sign up, they pay their money, they get a couple of free beers, get a T-shirt,
and a sweet Zero-K T-shirt.
A Zero-K T-shirt.
Heck yeah.
And
you can play horse with me on the hoop as long as Bad Take doesn't flatten the ball, hitting garden gnomes and a shard of glass over there.
And most importantly, it's a good way to support Goods for Greatness.
Exactly. Yeah, I am so grateful that they have decided to use a Goods for Greatness charity as the nonprofit to help. And I'd heard of this before, and I never imagined that we would be able to one to benefit, but... Man, if you can't, I mean, people don't want to do anything, come drink beer, and it gives kids a chance to play sports like that. I mean, what else you need? That's the easiest way to give back.
Hold on. You're telling a bunch of men and women in East Tennessee that they can come benefit a charity to help kids get equipment to play sports and drink beer, and they have to run zero. The place should be full.
It should be, yeah.
Completely full.
Pack the house next Wednesday. Rihanna, good luck to you. Goods for the number 4greatness.org if you want to donate.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I love the show. Always, and I'm blessed to be able to do the over-under. I always wanted to be the guest there. So
love it.
Thank you.
Sorry you had to deal with Logan.
Love it. Yeah, yeah. And Bad Take. And not sorry, though, you had to be here at the Beer Market. Love that.
Never.
Encourage people to come out next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. I'll see y'all.
I'll be here.
And contact me if you need anything. I'll get you all the info.
Goodsforgreatness.org, also on social media. That's Rhiannon Pikey. That's over-under. This is the Eric Cain Show, and it continues next.
Bad Take and I are tied. I was playing left-handed.
It's an epic brick off the roof.
No, it's tied. Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
All right. We're rolling now.
The problem with blaming Kent Wilkins for anything is it's like with me. Everyone believes it every time.
Everybody goes, yeah.
Like, that Kent Wilkins said that, and you're like, oh, well, he probably did.
Where'd the Beard and Beer Market come in? The new Pucker Pump and Roll. Strawberry pumpkin roll sour, pumpkin rolls from Buddy's Barbecue. It is delicious.
That's awesome.
A hint, just a hint of pumpkin, a hint of strawberry.
I'm going to beat his butt left-handed at horse over there.
You guys are going to play for 6 hours because neither of you can hit a shot.
Yeah, well, I'm playing with my left hand. I'm still going to beat him. I'll still beat him. It wouldn't be fair with my right. That wouldn't be fair. I just raise it up a foot and dunk it every time like Barkley did to me, and you'd be done.
656-9900 if you want to join us. Trey is up next. Trey, you're on the Eric Cain Show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. One quick question for you as we roll into the Ole Miss game. But as of right now, I'd say I firmly believe that we are going to come away with a win in either the Ole Miss game or the Kentucky game. With that being said, if it was just today and not in a couple weeks, which win would you rather have if you had to pick one or the other? And which win do you think would be more meaningful to this season and the program this year? And I'll hang up and let you guys speak on that.
Ole Miss and Kentucky?
Yes.
What do you think, Brian?
This is a scorching hot take. I'd rather beat Kentucky.
Really?
I think Lane Kiffin doing what he's doing is fine, but it's over in the SEC West. You're not going to see Ole Miss again for a half a decade. If I can only win one of those two games, I think Tennessee can win both of those games. If you make me pick, though, I'm picking Kentucky because making sure – it's like what we talked about with both Missouri and South Carolina – you want to be able to sell to recruits that you are the program in this division that's not Florida and Georgia. You want to prove to recruits and to your fans that you are a half step away from being ready to compete with those top two and not a half step away from being competitive with the Kentuckys and the South Carolinas and the Missouris, that you as a program should be on a year-in, year-out basis be better than.
So I don't disagree with any of that. I'm for a totally different reason, though. I'm going to say Ole Miss, and here's why. It's not just Lane Kiffin. I don't care who their head coach was. If there's an SEC West team coming in here with a ranked team, this is our first night game, home game, against a team that if we win, everyone will be excited. And I just think, you know, not just, you know, you got a first-year coach, and then we get a night game on a Thursday against Bowling Green. Who cares? No one comes. Then you got all these noon games, you know, your Florida games on the road. This is your first real opportunity for Josh Heupel to have a home crowd, environment, vibe, campus, recruiting, all the stuff – that matters. If this game was on the road, then I would agree with you 100%. I would rather beat Kentucky and show everybody that it's Georgia 1, Florida 2, us 3, and then everybody else.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with that. But I think because it's at home, it's, again, not even the Lane Kiffin thing. That would be the icing on the cake, but it's really not that.
To show your fans that are turning out that
this is a ranked team in from the SEC, and we're going to beat their butt at home, and everyone's going to have fun pregame, and then they'll have fun postgame. And I just think that would – I know, you know, and recruiting would be – yeah, it'd be nice to be able to show all those other guys, but if you can beat Ole Miss here in a night game with all these kids, they'll come.
You want to know what the good news is?
What's that?
We don't have to pick. Tennessee could go beat both of them.
Hey, right? Hey, I mean, I like the question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if we can beat Ole Miss Saturday night,
you can beat Kentucky.
Then you can beat everyone else on your schedule outside of maybe Georgia and Bama. I will believe that we can compete with them that week when we see what they do. From those guys, don't lose. They have juniors on their team that have been a part of wins only. So, one loss, I know that seems like, oh, one loss, who cares? Who knows what that does to their team? I would imagine it doesn't do anything bad. Nick Saban was smiling after Florida, and he was in a good mood after losing to A&M, and I think that's because they're playing average in his mind, and they're winning, and nothing will get them tightened back up like losing a football game.
Right.
I don't foresee, like, some programs, you'd be worried that would, like, they'd just, you know, go into the plunger, but he's never done that anywhere he's ever coached, and it won't happen again. But, yeah, I don't know. I'd rather beat Ole Miss. I think it'd be fun for everybody.
All right, we come back to the Beer Market next, 656-9900. We take more of your phone calls on the other side on the Eric Haines Show.
The great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
Major League Baseball, last night the Braves took down the Brewers yesterday 5-4 to advance to the NLCS. They await the winner of the Dodgers and the Giants. The Dodgers knotted that series up at 2 games apiece last night after taking down the Giants 7-2. In the AL, the Astros hammered the White Sox 10-1 to advance to the ALCS to take on the Red Sox. College football score last night, Louisiana Lafayette took down App State 41-13. In the NFL, the NFLPA said yesterday that they plan to request the NFL go release the rest of the emails as part of the investigation into workplace misconduct inside the Washington football team's organization. Leaked emails led to John Gruden resigning on Monday after the email showed him using anti-gay and misogynistic language. Tennessee announced yesterday on Twitter that the game this Saturday against Ole Miss is officially a sellout. This is the first sellout since 2017 when Tennessee hosted Georgia. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Buddy's Barbecue, and you can enjoy the new Pucker Pump and Roll and help out a great cause next Wednesday, October 20th, the 4th annual 0K to benefit Goods for Greatness. All the fun of a fun run without actually having to run while still benefiting the kids helped. Right, greatness.
This is not an original statement, but everybody with me knows me. If I'm running, you need to follow.
Because something's coming.
An avalanche, the fault lines, a volcano, scary people. I mean, if I'm running, you just need, don't even ask, just go, like, oh, crap, Angel's running that way. Quick, run.
It's right here at Bearden Beer Market, 4524 Old Kingston Pike. You can also check them out on social media and at BeardenBeerMarket.com. Great stuff here.
Absolutely,
at
man.
Beer Market.
It's always fun here. Always.
656-9900, 866-656-9900 if you want to join us. Steve is up next. Steve, you're on the Eric Haines Show.
Hey, guys. Eric, I'm glad I'm not the only one that likes to watch the game, these type games, by myself. I'm actually going to this one, but I'm having the hardest time right now. I've got a neighbor who's a huge UT fan. But he likes to talk all during the game, and I'm trying to find a way not to hurt his feelings on Saturdays when I'm at home. I'm more interested in watching to see if Ollie Lane is, you know, picking up a blitz or if a running back's blocking, who he's supposed to be blocking, than all the talking. So it's refreshing to hear that someone else has the – I thought I was the only one that didn't like anybody around.
No, mine's extreme too, Steve, because I'm gonna be there – from 5 to 6 o'clock doing my game day radio show at Gate 21. So I'll already be there. And then I'm getting back in my car to drive home to watch a game.
And then one of
that's
the
not the norm,
I
get it.
One other thing I wanted to mention to you guys is that I hadn't heard a lot of people talk about it this year, but I think it's an advantage, a huge advantage, and I give props to our defensive coordinator. We've got, Eric, you can speak to this better than any of us, I'm sure, is that we've got 22-year-old grown men playing in the interior of our defensive line, and I think that's making a difference. We've got Blakely and Butler. If we can get Bumpus healthy and, you know, I mean, even Garland and even Tremblay, I mean, we've got guys that are older, more mature, 21, 22-year-old guys, and that's got to help when you're playing a 19 or 20-year-old offensive lineman. I don't care if he's a four-star or not. And I think I've been proud of those guys' effort and how they're playing in there this year. And I just hope they keep it up this week. And then
for sure.
The last thing, if I had something to say to Lane Kiffin, I would say, Lane, how do you like that last call at Oxford, Mississippi, being at 10:45 p.m. in the bars, and you got to go home? Thanks, guys. How are you doing?
Classic.
I appreciate that.
So I think that, okay, quarterbacks are playing really, really well, and Hendon Hooker's doing great. Halsey, Golish, obviously Josh Heupel. You asked me earlier, because we were going to talk about it, we never really did, but are the linebackers the most, like, you know, do they look like the biggest surprise on position group wise? And I want to say the answer to that is yes. But the more I think about it, especially with what Steve just said, the most improved group for us up front is the defensive line. The defensive line, you can't have good linebackers if you don't have good D linemen. You can't have good DBs if you don't have good linebackers and good D linemen. It for sure is just, it's just like the offensive side of the ball. But I think they're getting coached up better than they've ever been coached up. They're hungrier to start than they've ever been before either, competing for jobs and being taught what to do. And the notion that D linemen are just big, dumb, you know, big and dumb, and they just, you know, stand in the three technique and then blow stuff up. If you are a first-round draft pick, you can do that.
Right.
You can be dumb as a brick and just go line up, and the guy can't block you, and you just push the pocket and make tackles. That's fine. You're an NFL Pro Bowler. If you are not that, it doesn't mean you can't be a great defensive lineman. You just have to do all the other stuff. You got to have the right technique. You have to understand when we call this play with this twist, we are doing it because blank. And when then they learn that, and then they do it a few times, and they learn how to actually didn't slip inside of the guy when they make the twist. It's just like little things. And if nothing else works, the defensive linemen are chewing up offensive linemen like it's their job. And that is so important when you have what the next answer would be, linebackers, right? The linebackers would not look like they look right now, where you're putting guys in, changing guys out. You know, they would not be playing to the level they're playing if that defensive line was not playing like they are. So that definitely, you know, maybe linebacker is the most surprising, but the only reason linebacker is possible is because of what those big guys are doing up front right now. And it's fun to watch, dude. They look cocky, arrogant, mean. Gosh, there's nothing worse than playing a team with a defensive line that's just nasty and lets you know it, and you can't block them. It's brutal. I mean, it's brutal. And I'm not saying our guys are playing like that. I think Byron Young could keep playing. I think if several guys, Tyler Barron, is just, his career is just starting, really. I mean, he played as a freshman last year. He didn't know what he was doing. He's playing really good. And then we have a lot of old guys that have been around the block a lot that haven't really made too much noise, and that's what they're doing. Oh, those guys are playing well. Our interior defensive linemen have just been it's been refreshing to watch the passion and energy they play with.
Absolutely.
They're trying to mess it up every single play.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. We'll find out what we learned today and get you set for the rest of your Sports Wednesday next. Coming to you live from Beard and Beer Market on the Eric Gaines Show.
Welcome back in here to the Eric Gaines Show here at the Beard and Beer Market. Oh, it's official. The 0K next Wednesday is a thing. It's happening.
It's rolling.
I'll be here. Everyone I know is getting a text message. We're all coming. It's going to be a blast. But it is time for us to find out what we learned today. We do it every day thanks to Gambooza's Barbershop. Two locations, one of them not too far from right here. And you can go over there and you can make your appointment on gamboozasbarbershop.com. Google it. Find them. It's an old school kind of like saloon mentality. But they have all the new trends. They can cut anybody's hair, any guy, boy, old, you know, doesn't matter. They can do everything. It's always a good time too. Best staff in town. Gambooza's Barbershop.com.
Logan. Let's see. Logan, what did you learn from us today?
A lot of people still in this town, guys, don't like Lane Kiffin. Ainge, you definitely don't like Lane Kiffin. But I tend to think that it's more loving fun. People don't like the way that this ended. But I think, given the opportunity, I think people would say that maybe candidly, they like Lane Kiffin.
I don't like Lane Kiffin. I respect his ability to coach football. I think he's a very good football coach. He's an incredible top five offensive mind in college football, period. I just hope we beat him by as many as we possibly can. It's not going to change my opinion on him at all. It would be nice to beat him. I mean, it's the ex-girlfriend reference, right?
And I think when he pokes fun at Tennessee and, says go Rocky Top whenever John and Jimmy have him on or someplace in Nashville, I think whenever he says that, go Vols, and kind of, pokes fun at Tennessee on Twitter, I think it's all out of good nature, because I generally think he likes Tennessee.
I know for a fact that he regrets leaving here, period, but especially the way he did. I don't care, though.
Yeah, I don't really.
It still happens. See, that's the thing. Like, I don't hate him in that I cheer against him every time he plays. I do not wish him happiness, but that is because he is responsible, along with a lot of bad decisions along the way from other people, for how Tennessee's ended up the last 10, 15 years. Well, the last 10 years. He was remaking the roster in his own image, which is fine if you're a coach. But when you leave during that rebuild, you put the next guy at a significant disadvantage. The next guy was an idiot who didn't know what he was doing. And that made it worse. And then you hired Butch Jones, who was average at best. And then he ends up tearing it down on his way out. Jeremy Pruitt doesn't know what he's doing. Now Josh Heupel's trying to clean up the mess. Well, Lane Kiffin started all that by leaving the way he did. So I want to beat him for that. We couldn't beat him when he was OC at Alabama because
he was
OC at Alabama. We have a chance to beat him.
Looking back at it, though, we would have claimed a victory in that, but that's not a victory. I mean, he's got to be the head guy. Sure. And to your point, though, there's not been one week that they have played that I've watched them play where I'm rooting for or against them. They're another good football team that I'm watching play, and I like watching his teams play because I think they play the game the right way, especially on offense. But, yeah, okay, I'll give you an example. If Dooley, when I see Dooley on a sideline like he was for the Cowboys forever, it wasn't hard for me because I'm not a big Cowboys guy, but I absolutely wanted their receivers to fall down and drop the ball and run the wrong routes. 100%.
I'm a Cowboys fan, and I didn't have
you
to
didn't feel good
them.
About it.
I didn't have to want them to do it, but they did it because they were coached by Derek Dooley.
Yeah, I mean that's the difference. Like when I like Butch at Arkansas State, some people hate Butch. I don't hate Butch. He just can't play here. He can't coach here. He needs to coach at an Arkansas State. That needs to be the kind of place he goes, like a Central Michigan or a Cincinnati, not what it is now with Fickell, but what it was, which is a pretty decent program. That's just, and then Pruitt's a coordinator or a position coach. He tried to be a head coach once, and he failed miserably, and he was failed because of a lot of things that come with the territory of being the head coach that he didn't do well. It wasn't schematically, like he forgot how to coach football. He just, I don't know. Kiffin's the one guy, though, out of all those guys that I don't really have anything bad to say about him anymore. He can be obnoxious, but he's also, it's kind of fun to be obnoxious. Someday we'll get good, and when we're good, Josh Heupel will say some snarky comment to some other team about something. Why? Because he has confidence that his guys are going to go do something about it. You don't do that until you have reached a point where you are actually confident. And that's not really his style, but it'll happen at some point. Halftime, pregame, postgame, something. He'll say something, and I'll love it. I don't hate Lane Kiffin. I'm going to hate him today and until about Saturday around midnight, and then I don't care what they do for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
they can win or lose them all. Doesn't matter. I mean, we're not in a position where it matters what all the other SEC West teams are doing yet. We're not forecasting and foreshadowing who we're going to play in Atlanta. We're a long, long way away from that. But I hope we beat them by as many as we can. This would be the game that, if the game's over and you want to, keep running the ball.
Go
ahead.
All of it.
Yeah. You don't need to take a knee. Let's just keep running it right at them. See if you can get another touchdown. I don't normally do that. I always make my middle school team take a knee. Every team we ever played on would do that, and it's mainly to not get guys hurt, but I'd be fine if he was still handing the rock off. 35 seconds left. We're up 10. Take a knee, and it's over, and he hands it off for one more gasher. I'm good with it. Bring it all. The other thing, too, the main reason I want to beat them as far as Kiffin is concerned, it's not what that means or what it does. It's the post-game press conference when he's going to be obnoxious if they win. He won't 100%. Say anything pregame. He won't say anything at halftime. It'll be whatever, especially after last week with the popcorn.
But he'll be like nonchalant about being a word I can't say about it, and I don't want that.
No, and if you know when he wins, he'll go up there on the podium. He'll do his post-game press conference, and he'll get a lot of questions, and he will say something that we all just are like, oh. It's not even going to be that bad. He won't even, like, the leash is so short for him. He won't even say anything that bad. Gosh, even if he just came in and gave us nothing but credit, that would bother me. Right? You know, they win, and then he's like, listen, they played great. They played really hard. They were coached up well. You know, it's nice to see Josh Heupel, you know, having success in his first year. Like, he would say some stuff like that after winning that would make me hate him all over again.
Right.
So we just need to beat him.
Yeah.
And then you know what I bet Josh Heupel will do? Nothing. He won't say anything snarky about Kiffin. He won't. He might passive-aggressively say, hey, you know, have a safe trip back. Glad you came. Good game. All that stuff makes me happy. Gosh, the thought of Heupel doing that makes me, like oddly happy.
Yep.
Yeah. He
I'm
won't say neither one
thinking
of,
about it.
Neither one of them will say anything bad. It'll just be a little jab on the way out. I hope Heupel gets to get the little jab on the way out.
If any.
He doesn't even have to. Both teams played hard tonight. Have a safe trip back. We're glad you came.
And if Tennessee wins this game, we can finally get rid of
the internet will break.
Lane Kiffin holding over our heads.
Yeah. I'm already over it, but I understand a lot of people aren't, and they...
The rest of the college football world isn't.
No.
Forget Tennessee fans, the rest of the college football world isn't. We can exercise a big demon Saturday night. Thanks to the Beer Market for having us out here today.
Always.
And check out their event next Wednesday to benefit Goods for Greatness. Bad Take Andy, thank you. Logan, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow from Powell's Personal Auto Locator Service on the Eric Gaines Show.